Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Hey, here we are. So this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is the World Peace Diet Circle Call for Thursday, July 21st, 2022. We're here in Northern California, Madeline and I, and thank you all for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedules. Sorry we're starting a few minutes late, but I just couldn't stop listening to that song. Anyway, it's great to be here, and we have kind of a special day today because there's a couple of our colleagues who are part of the World Peace Diet Circle, who have gone through the World Peace Diet training, who are going to be joining us. First, Michael Lanfield, who I can see is with us. Hi, Michael. Good to see you there from Ecuador. I've known Michael for many years in Canada, and he was a very prominent animal rights activist in the Toronto area for many years, making lots of videos, writing lots of books, putting on lectures, including some for me when I came through, and Madeline and I came through, and we got to be good friends. And he's now gone down to Ecuador. So, and then a little bit later, we'll be joined by Meenakshi Angel Honig from Maui to talk about her fantastic book, The Solution, and which is just launching. And so it's great to see World Peace Diet facilitators making vegan waves in the world in different ways. And so I'm really delighted. So I'd like to go ahead and just jump right in. Remember, of course, this is our time. This is about an hour and a half, typically, at the maximum we go. So it's 5 o'clock here in California till 6:30. I know on the East Coast it goes till 10:30, which is kind of late. And some people join us even from Europe, especially Davi, but we'll see. So anyway, it will go for at the maximum of an hour and a half. And if you have any questions or comments you really would like to share, feel free to raise your hand. You can do that down, I think it's in the in the reactions down below if you're on Zoom. Or you can press star 6 to go ahead and unmute and speak. So that's the basic thing. I really appreciate your presence and your efforts and your kindness and caring. Usually at the very beginning we have a meditation, kind of a shorter one. I'm going to make it quite a bit shorter today because we have a whole lot happening here. So, but I am sitting at the piano. I'm hoping that the piano comes through. I was having a little trouble with it earlier when I was doing the test, but you may just only hear my voice. If you have any comments for me or for the group, the chat is open. Feel free to leave them in the chat. I can see it here. I have that open too, so that's helpful if you're having any technical trouble hearing me or whatever. All right, so here we go. Let's just have a short meditation together, and then I'll introduce Michael, and we can begin. So let's take a moment and just begin to connect. Breathing together. So we take a moment now and just relax into this present moment. Breathing with every exhalation, letting go, into the eternal now moment. The only reality is this moment. So just abiding in our true nature, abiding in peace, in harmony, abiding in the awareness that what we are was never born and will never die. That what we are is the infinite and eternal consciousness that is the source of this life, the source of all life. So we breathe and relax into this awareness that there is one life living through all of us. One light shining in our heart. And we give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters and for their efforts to help to raise awareness, to help bring greater peace and harmony into our world. And we send our love and compassion especially to the animals of this earth, to all of the animals who are under the oppression of human beings, who are suffering in confinement, who have been reduced to commodities. We send them our deepest apologies, our love, and witness their experience. May all beings be free. May all beings be happy and at peace. We send our love and compassion to all the human beings who are suffering for whatever reason. And abiding in our true home, from this place of loving kindness and compassion, joy and peace, we radiate into the infinite web of relations the true aspects and qualities of consciousness, loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. Abiding in abundance, in freedom, in truth, we hold the vision of this beautiful earth, so abundant and so full of wonder and magnificence, awakening from human domination and ignorance, and the whole human family liberating from ignorance and fear. The great vegan message of ahimsa, of compassion and kindness, of inclusivity, abiding every day more and more fully and completely in the hearts of all of our brothers and sisters, May all beings be happy. And may we continue to awaken to the truth that we are, and to build a world that cares for everyone, a world of compassion, peace, and joy, based on the truth that what we are is whole and complete, that every aspect of our life is in harmony, that every aspect of our physical body is whole and complete, of all of our affairs, that we are on the path of awakening to the truth for the benefit of all beings. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. So thank you everyone for joining in the meditation together, and we'll go ahead and feel free to if you want to turn on your cameras, that's fine, or turn them off, however you like. It's great to see you, if that's possible. And so we'll go ahead now. I'd like to introduce Michael, and thank you, Michael, for joining us. And I know you're deep in the jungles of Ecuador somehow, and it's sometimes the technical audio stuff might not be that good, but hopefully you can go ahead and unmute your microphone. Michael is, like I said, an old friend and also a very hard worker for the vegan movement for many years. And I'm really delighted that you're with us today. And I know, Michael, that you're interested in starting a community, a vegan community, raw food based in Ecuador, that will be a model for peace, as I understand it. So I'd like to go ahead and just open it up now for you to tell all of us, because I think we're really fascinated. Everyone who's here, we'll be recording this also for others that cannot make it. And let us know a little bit about what you're doing, how it's going, what your goals are, and how we can help. If there's anything we can do to be of service to what you're doing, it'd be great to find out more. So thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, everybody on this call, for having me. It's been a long time since I've been on here, and what you're doing and what everybody's doing is just wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing veganism and peace and love and compassion for all beings to as many people as we possibly can. Especially the last, the last few times that I did tune in, you were, Will, talking about sovereignty and about vaccination and about mask wearing and all this kind of thing, which I really enjoy your talking about that with people. So I'm very, very thankful.
Great. So, yeah, tell us about what you're up to.
So, my favorite, my partner Aurora is here as well. Aurora
Good.
And I, we are doing and building physically right now, starting to build Peaceful Village Raw Vegan Healing Community. So we're focused on raw vegan and healing, but from an ethical and spiritual perspective.
Great.
And so our aim also is, as a community, is to also to exercise not just our values that we have for Peaceful Village, which you can read more about on our website, but also our birthrights. And I don't know if we have time to go into them briefly, but I think I've mentioned it before on here or in another webinar. But ultimately, we are creating this, and we finally got the land to build. And so we have this amazing, incredible land that is 20-some hectares, and with three beautiful, pristine rivers. It's a mountain range, but not too high and not too deep. So it's very, very good in close to Loreto in Ecuador. So this is basically what we're doing here. We got the land, and now we're ready to start physically building and getting it off the ground. And so we're looking for many, many volunteers and help from people, donations, a lot of help from people, also within the vegan and raw vegan communities. And a lot of volunteers, experienced people that know how to build naturally. We're trying to also be as eco-sustainable as possible. So as much material from the land as possible. Our whole aim is to be completely self-sustainable, hopefully in the next few years. But as we know, it takes time to grow all the fruit, to grow all the vegetables, everything to be completely self-sustainable. So this is what we are doing. I don't know if Aurora wants to say a little bit additional.
Hello.
Hi, Aurora. All right.
Thank you for your lovely invitation. I'm sorry for my English. It's a little, sometimes I make mistakes. Well, we are creating peaceful village, raw vegan killing community. We are focusing in helping to create a better world, because we cannot continue the way that we're doing it in the cities. Unfortunately, the government is controlling us more and more, asking now for vaccination, going for digital IDs, going very, very invasive. We need to wake up. We need to cooperate all together. We cannot allow them to solve everything in the way that they try to do it. We need to wake up. We need to be active, spiritual souls, spiritual people, but active, you know, doing something for our world, for our planet. So that's what we're doing. We bought this beautiful land that is waiting for the most beautiful souls that want to heal all together, that want to start planting fruit trees.
Even join us too.
And also healing, because all of us somehow, we are wounded. We are hurt. Yeah. So we need to heal. But we don't need to heal with pharmaceutical drugs and this is absolutely not the way. The way is doing it through nature. With the help of nature, being with her, because we are nature ourselves. So receiving sunshine, being in the tropics, eating organic fruit, receiving love from the community. Yeah, being vegan, in harmony with animals, in harmony with all of us. So basically that's what we're doing. We now are in the first stage. So we're waiting for people.
Starting to build, because right now on the land, there's really nothing. There's just a big portion of it is rivers. It's pristine nature. There's a lot of forest on the land, but part of the land also has been degraded because there was cows, unfortunately. And so we need to revive that part of the land and start growing as many fruit trees as possible. As we know, fruit trees are three-dimensional and harbor a lot of life. They give home to many millions of animals. And also it doesn't
create a certification, like many, many places that are growing different grains and different things. So
great.
So it's urgent. Well, it's urgent. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, thanks. I'm getting a great picture of what you're doing. I think we all are. It's very inspiring. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's a beautiful country. I mean, I'll just say a couple of things. So, you've bought 20 hectares, which is about over 40 acres, probably 44 acres, something like that, which is, that's a quite a good piece of land.
Yeah, about 22 hectares.
22 hectares, yeah. So, and you have water on the land, and it's, I think it's somewhere below the mountain like Quito, or, I mean, Cuenca.
It's in the province of Oriana. So
right.
It's more north, and it's Amazon tropical jungle, rainforest.
Right,
but it's not too high elevation. Highest point, we really don't know what the highest point is, but I've calculated 350, 400 meters above sea level.
Right. Yeah, so, I have some experience in Ecuador because we bought land there and built a house, and we were going to move down to Vilcabamba, as a lot of people know that, and it's a great climate. You can grow lots of food. We planted like 70 fruit trees when we were down there.
Wow.
And my brother still lives there, and his wife and their daughter. And my brother loves Ecuador. He thinks it's a great country. It's like any country. There's, you know, there's good and bad, but there's in some ways more freedom. And it's a lot easier to bribe officials if you just want to get out of something. You just give them a few dollars and you're okay. So, so there's lots of advantages, I would say, to moving down there. The cost of living is a fraction of what we pay in the United States.
Exactly.
I mean, you can live on a lot less money, which is a benefit. You got to get down there, of course. But I think, you know, it's something to consider. I mean, everybody has, we all have our own unique situations, but there's always, I think, people who are ready to make a big change in their life, or know people, maybe you know people who are ready to make a big change and get out of Dodge, in a sense, and try another way of living, which is very close to the earth and with kindred spirits, and try to make something. We have, a couple of months ago, we talked to some World Peace Diet facilitators who are creating a community also in northern Florida. That's another thing that's happening. So there's some great things happening with vegan community. I've always said that vegan community is fantastic. That's the reason I went vegan, was just staying for a few weeks in a vegan community, and that really planted the seeds and transformed my life. So I think it's very noble work, and it's very important, and I love that you both have a spiritual perspective on things. So I'm just wondering, does anyone have any questions or comments for Michael and Aurora about their vision of the land, or what it would take to move down there? It's not that hard. I mean, it's like, you know, you guys are doing, you got to get a what's called a cedula, which is like a identification, and it's not that difficult. I mean, we were going to do it. So anyway, it's if you have anyone has any questions, just go ahead and unmute and ask. And Michael and Aurora, if you want to say something more, feel free.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a few words.
Yeah.
First about identification, and that is that I don't identify myself. We don't identify ourselves with any country. We are earthlings, vegan earthlings. I don't identify myself with that, or with any country, no matter what people say or where I was brought up or where I grew up. And another thing is that, it's a great place here, Oriana. If you want to know more about us, we can address some questions. But ultimately, we have a website called Peaceful Village Raw Vegan Healing Community, and it's peaceful-village.com. Maybe we can put it in the chat. But peaceful-village.com. Just peaceful village with the hyphen.com. And there you can find all the information if you decide one day to become a community member or volunteer or help us out in any other way. Because right now, we're also looking to build our infrastructure there. Electricity, internet, hook up with water, construct the buildings. So that is, yes, thank you, Will. And that is, that is something that we need to do to get self-sustainable and also to teach people about becoming also self-sustainable and to leave society for nature. Do you have anything to add?
Great. Yeah, so that's, I put the name of the website here in the chat, and I'll put it in the email I send out later. So if you guys want to look at their website, that's always helpful. And stay in touch. And you can people contact you through that also, Michael?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good. So, great. It's good to see your, see both of you and to meet you, Aurora. And it looks like somebody's raising their hand. Carol, you want to say something? Just go right ahead. Yeah. I can't hear you for some reason. Yeah, you are unmuted, but your voice isn't working. I can't hear anything.
Will people live together or a combination? Oh. Did you hear?
Yeah, now, just go ahead. Now it's working. It wasn't working before.
Okay. I was just wondering if you're planning to build individual houses or homes on the property, or one large structure where everybody lives together, or a combination of the two?
Thank you for your question. Of course, we're going to have a public community area and community center where everybody can go and to be with the other community members and with the volunteers and guests and so forth, and to, of course, access all the facilities that we will eventually have. Because it's a community, we also emphasize privacy of individuals and personal space. So everybody has depending on if they're a guest, volunteer, or community member, each one has, you know, different space. But each one has their own space, either cabin or house, whatever they decide to build, or, room or something, or tent. It depends. There's so many options. So there's, yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, those are the kind of things. I guess, as time goes on, is it just the two of you right now? Or do you have anybody else that's showing interest specifically at this point, or just
there are many people that show interest, but a lot of them are not serious. So right now it's just the two of us, and we'll see how things go. But because we have a very, very specific set of values and birthrights, a lot of them, some of them have always like one little thing that they don't like and kind of makes them kind of walk away from the idea. And also many, many other questions and things like that. They want to see the documents and everything about becoming a community member. So it's all about first understanding if you resonate with all the values and birthrights. And then there's a process of becoming a community member, which is at least 6 months process. So it's not just so, you know, quick.
Right.
Also to build the house on your land, on the plot of land, on the personal homestead lot, and all the other stuff on that you would want on the land takes time also. Yeah. So there's many options with that.
Right. Yeah, it's exciting. It's an amazing place, and you can grow the tropical fruits are delicious. I'm telling you, we were planting avocados and cherimoyas and all kinds of stuff. It's papayas and mangoes and everything. And, you can grow all those things. We should begin to wrap it up. We have another, person coming on. Also, I mentioned earlier, Meenakshi Angel Honig. But I want to make sure there aren't any other questions or that people have or would like to know more. I went to the website just now, Peaceful Village Raw Vegan Healing Community, and it looks great. I mean, it's a nice little basic website where people can learn more about you guys and contact you also. So that's really helpful, I think. But it's nothing like going and visiting, I guess. That would be
yes,
it's possible. All right. Any other comments or questions for Michael and Aurora? Anybody have?
No.
Susan. Uh huh.
Well, I just wonder. Michael probably vegan a long time more than me, but. You know, if you don't know about, Gentle World, and maybe you can compare notes with them in terms of them being a vegan community for 40 years now, you know? If you ever
that's a good idea. Yeah, right. They've been going strong for 40 years in, on the Big Island in Hawaii. And,
they
have a nice website. Right. They have a good website. Yeah, that's true. There's several other actually vegan communities that are starting in Ecuador that I'm aware of as well. So there are people doing this, but it's great because Michael is. I know you have books on it. People can put your name in also on Amazon, right, Michael, and find your books and things there.
Yes, you can find many of my books. I have about nine so books out. And recently we wrote a book called Awakening the Good in Humanity, and Aurora wrote the foreword to that book, which I'm very, very so grateful and inspired by that and by her. So I got her to do that foreword, Awakening the Good in Humanity, and others as well, especially in Spanish. We have one already called Creando un Mundo Hermoso, which is creating a beautiful world, and hopefully more in Spanish to get out to this population of the world. It's just too bad that Latin people really don't read much. So to get to the hearts of people through books is kind of difficult.
I see.
Yes. And they're expensive as well here for books. Something like a $20 book is really, really expensive, because that would mean, for average person, it's like a whole day's pay.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. When we were building our house in Ecuador, they were working for like $10 a day. I know. It's a whole different thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's between 10 and 25 per day.
Now I know that was like 15 years ago. But yeah, so, right. It's a whole different thing. Right, I know.
But whatever negative you hear about living in the tropics or about Ecuador or these countries south, a lot of it is misinformation. So it's paranoia, it's fear. Ultimately, since traveling and also Aurora traveling, this is probably one of the best and safest places that I've ever been and she's ever been.
Right.
And this place especially has independent government. So that's something to also consider. It's more neutral and less invasive with laws and things.
Right. Yeah, I know you were looking around quite a bit. All right. Well, it's been great to see your faces and to hear your voice from far down out in the jungle of Ecuador. I know you're really out there, off the beaten path, and forging creating a new, like you're pioneers, creating a beautiful, community, and I will definitely send people your way. If I hear of people who would like to just leave Europe or the United States or Canada or whatever and go to another country, because I think Ecuador is one of the better ones. It's got a lot going for it. And so, yeah, that's great. All right, well, bless you and all your efforts. If there's nobody else that wants to say something or ask a question, I think I'll go ahead and open it up to Meenakshi Angel Honig, who's here to share a little bit about her her new book, which I think would be interesting also. So, Michael and Aurora, thanks again. It's wonderful to see you, and I really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
I know it's kind of late there, and you guys are. It was inconvenient to do all this, but I really appreciate you making the efforts. And
thank you for having us on. If anybody still has questions, we'll be on for a little bit longer.
Right. Okay. Sounds great. Great. All right. So, yeah, and if you think of anything, just let us know. So I'd like to go ahead and pivot here. I guess that's the word I've never used, but I've heard people say pivot, so I guess it's time to pivot. We'll turn in another direction here. Which is just a little bit of a change, because we're still in the realm of promoting vegan living in the tropics. And another really good, longtime, wonderful friend of Madeline and myself also is Angel Honig, Meenakshi Angel Honig. She's with us here, and I have her book. This is the book that you can, I don't know if you can see it very clearly. It's called The Solution, spelled S-O-U-L-U-T-I-O-N, 10 Compelling Reasons to Choose a Plant-Based Diet and Lifestyle. And she's just now, after quite a birthing process with all the full-color photos in here, getting it actually launched into the world. And, yeah, I'll go ahead and just read something that was written by Michael Clapper. You probably all know of Michael Clapper, Dr. Michael Clapper, who's another longtime friend of ours, and who lives now in West Palm Beach, Florida, but he lived on Hawaii for quite a few years. And he's a vegan doctor. And he talks about the book, and I think it's a good kind of little introduction to this effort that she made for quite a few years, actually, to get this to come out. So this is what he wrote. The Solution by Meenakshi Angel Honig is an exquisite key ring filled with the shining keys that will unlock a healthier, happier future for us all. No matter which door in your mind or heart you need to be open to a vegan way of eating and living, the solution will turn the lock. Are you concerned about your own health? Do you care about the suffering of animals? Do you want to protect the earth from ruination? How about a livable future for our children? In this remarkable, readable, and resource-filled book, and actually takes on the thorniest of issues and tackles the most obstinate of objections commonly used to justify meat eating, and she melts them away with logic and love to guide us to a future of sustainability and compassion, matching every why to do it with a how to do it. The solution is as practical as it is inspiring, a perfect guide for our time. Accept the gift that is this book, take its message into your heart, and watch your life become part of the solution. So that's what Michael Clapper wrote, and I think he's pretty accurate with the fact what he says, and the fact that it's got a lot about the why. But she has quite a lot in the book too, with recipes and lots of tips on how to actually have it work in your life to make the transition to veganism. So it's a really a big book. It's full color all the way through, and it's great that it's finished and it's out. So, Angel, are you there? Have you unmuted yourself? And I think I saw you were here earlier. So here we go. Let's see.
Aloha, can you hear me?
There she is. Yes.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you so much, Will, for that beautiful introduction and for doing these world peace diet circle calls that are really lifelines, especially during this day and age. And all good wishes to Michael and Aurora for your fantastic pioneering there in Ecuador for a vegan, peaceful community of freedom and love and sustainability. God bless you with that effort, and I hope that you get all the support from the universe that you need to make that thrive. And I'd also want to thank and acknowledge all of my fellow World Peace Diet facilitators on this call and all those who will also see the recording, because I'm usually someone who gets the recording after the fact, so I want to really include those people because I'm usually one of them. And right. And so I just want to, even though I haven't met all of the World Peace Diet facilitators, it's just reassuring to know that you exist. Because this is a very powerful forum, and we're part of one of the fastest growing vegan movements in the world. And this is really the call of the hour. I feel that we all, in our own unique ways, need to really step up to the plate now, whether it be through creating vegan communities, as these beautiful souls are, Michael and Aurora, or whether it's doing these World Peace Circle calls, as you do, and your fantastic book, The World Peace Diet, and you and Madeline. I mean, it's just unbelievable, your advocacy all around the world, constantly traveling. You know, I don't know where you get all the stamina to do all that, but it's amazing, ceaselessly, continuously, unwaveringly, year after year. You're such exemplary role models. And, of course, Madeline with her intuitive kitchen on YouTube, but all her wonderful recipes and that wonderful tour on YouTube. Everyone should see that of your food forest, which is amazing. So I just want to acknowledge everybody's efforts, and I would like to say I'm going to speak about my particular effort, which is, can you see it here?
Yes.
Yeah, the solution. But I just want to say that, you know, I don't know if it's showing clearly in the video, is it?
It does sometimes if you have it right in front of you.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, perfect. That's perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So, but I just want to acknowledge everybody's effort, because there is no effort toward vegan advocacy that goes wasted. Every single effort is a step, and drops make oceans of moving things forward. So for everyone on this call and everybody who is listening to this call and everyone who isn't participating in it but is a vegan advocate, I bow to you, because this is really, I feel, the most important work of this time. So my particular contribution to this, I know we're all contributing in our various ways, and just by our own example is a primary way, but then each one of us in our own ways, I have been working for a number of years on this particular book that was just released, and I was thinking I'd like to take you through a little tour through the book, just like we had a tour through the food forest. I'd like to give you a tour through the book and highlight some of the key points, because, you know, this is a big book, and of course, in our short limited time, I won't be able to cover everything, but I'd like to just give you a glimpse of this, because I am like a distiller. It takes thousands of roses to make one little drop of rose oil. So I've taken a vast topic and I have distilled it down and connected the dots to what I feel are the key most important points to implement into our everyday lifestyle for transformation of both individually and globally. So I'll start with just the cover of this tour. So the cover says, oh, here's the better one, the proof code. Can you see that, everyone?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So some of the key points here are the solution, being vibrantly healthy, preventing future pandemics, reversing the climate crisis, eliminating starvation, loving kindness to all animals, elevating your consciousness, enjoying signature recipes, etc. These are just a few of the key points. And just going through it to give you a little tour, I'm going to start at the beginning. So at the beginning, I have endorsements. I'm so happy and grateful to say that I have endorsements from world-renowned global experts on this topic, such as Dr. Will Tuttle, who I am deeply grateful to because he edited this book. And I just want everybody to know that if the universe said, you know, out of all the people, 7+ billion people in the universe, you can have anyone you want in the whole universe to edit your book, Dr. Will Tuttle was my first choice. And I am so grateful that the graciousness of the universe granted that intention. And Will did a fantastic job of, you know, there's so much more to this than meets the eye, I want to say, but besides just correcting things like grammar and punctuation and things of that nature, he also helped me to make it more evergreen. He also shed a lot of light on topics that might have been controversial and may have alienated some people of how to restructure that to be more all-inclusive and more evergreen. So thank you, Will, for all of your diligent efforts with that. I know it was monumental. So I have endorsements from many, many great teachers, and I'm so grateful to say that one of them is from John Robbins, because how I got onto this journey, just to introduce myself a little bit more to this community, I'm going to give just a very brief introduction of how I came to write this book. And that is that when I was about 11 years old, I became a vegetarian. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I did not know one single vegetarian, never even heard of vegetarianism. But just in a nutshell, as soon as I realized that it came from torturing animals and grinding them up and eating them, I was so repulsed by that idea that just intuitively on a soul level, I knew this is not for me, even though I never heard of it. And that was a radical departure from the norm, because this global atrocity of eating meat is normalized. It was all around me, and everybody I knew was eating it, and it was on television, and it's what the doctors recommended, it's what our clergy recommended, everybody. So it was a radical departure from the norm, and I just want to state that this was before the internet, when kids had access to everything. So it's not as if I got any ideas from the internet or could look up a vegan recipe on the internet. This was, you know, over 50 years ago. And so the point of this story is that I had what you would call a spiritual awakening. And I became a vegetarian at 11. And then I had the misunderstanding that dairy cows were just like sung to, and they had names, and they were on green pastures, and there was a symbiotic relationship, and milk didn't hurt the cow, and they were like happy to give it. And so it wasn't until John Robbins' book came out in 1987 that I realized the enormous cruelty that goes into the dairy industry, and that's when I became a vegan, which was over 30 years ago. Now, I never even read the book, Diet for a New America, but someone read it, a friend of mine, who was so touched by it that he made a handout summarizing the key points, and I just read the handout, and that I went vegan on that, which is just to show that no effort toward vegan advocacy is ever wasted, because I might never have read the book, but I did read that 2 or 3 page handout, and that's what changed everything for me. So I do have a full circle of being inspired by John Robbins to having his endorsement in the book, just to show you how this all kind of magically came together. And then, because up until that point, I was an ethical vegan just because of my love for animals. But it wasn't until John Robbins came out with Earth Save that I started to learn all the environmental aspects. And then Dr. Michael Clapper brought to the fore all the medical benefits. So I got the environmental ones essentially from John Robbins initially, and then the medical benefits from Dr. Clapper initially, and it's so great to have that full circle of both of them endorsing this book, along with many other great luminaries. So it starts out with the endorsements, and then it goes to acknowledgments and just acknowledging my teachers. And then I go into the introduction, which is light one small candle. One of my favorite quotations is, it's better to light one small candle than to curse the darkness. And I know as vegan advocates, sometimes it can get very devastating and discouraging when we see all the darkness. And it's good to be aware of that, but not to get caught in it. And remember that our job is to adhere to the light no matter what, and to tip the balance in that direction by our life and our advocacy. So the introduction is all about that, being a light so that other people, a big torch, so other people can light their candles, and then we're all illuminated in the consciousness of ahimsa. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by ahimsa because not everyone may know that term, which is a Sanskrit word that means to do our best to not cause injury in our thoughts, words, and actions, or minimal injury. Now, how I learned about ahimsa is at the age of 16, I had the astronomical blessing of meeting my guru, a world-renowned yoga master, Swami Satchidananda. In September, in 2 months, is going to be my 50th anniversary of teaching yoga. 50 consecutive years, meaning that I did not even miss a beat for the pandemic. And what I mean by that is that I teach at the Fairmont Kealani, which is a 5-star resort on Maui, is where I teach yoga. And we had a mandatory furlough from March 19th to November 1st of 2020. And during that time, I was doing a yoga teacher training independent of the Fairmont Kealani. So I didn't even miss a beat for the whole pandemic. I taught all the way through for this consecutive 50 years. And one of the basic tenets of yoga, when I say I teach yoga, I don't mean just the physical postures, which I do teach and which I love and excel in, but I teach the entire science of yoga, which is an 8-limb path. And the 8 limbs are made up of, the first 2 limbs are yama and niyama, which is the ethical perfection, and the very first part of the ethical perfection, the first and foremost one is ahimsa, as I'm giving reference to. So this entire book, The Solution, is an effort to further the consciousness of ahimsa. The essence of this book is that right now we are living in the model of violence and domination. And this book is all about shifting our consciousness and our lifestyle habits to one of loving kindness, which is ahimsa, and collaboration and cooperation, to wake up from what Dr. Will Tuttle calls the cultural trance. So we've all been duped into this cultural trance of normalizing this global atrocity. It's time for us to wake up. And that's what this book is. This book is a monumental wake-up call. It's why we're doing this and how to make the change, a step-by-step plan, and includes all of my signature recipes in here. But it's way more than that. I have chapters like break up with non-vegan makeup. Because, for example, a lot of people might know to eat vegan food, but may not realize the cruelty that's in everyday products that we use. For example, did you know that the red pigment that's in lipstick and blush and many cosmetics comes from the guts of thousands of ground-up beetles? I mean, who would put ground-up insects on their lips if they knew what it was, along with other toxic chemicals? And, you know, it's really interesting because when I first came to Maui, this is a fascinating story. When I first came to Maui, one of my first boyfriends here, Steve-O, who had a permaculture property in North Maui, and when I was teaching at the Grand Wale Resort yoga at that time, and I would come right from teaching yoga to his place. And the first thing he would do when I walked in the door would be wipe off my lipstick before he would kiss me. And how did he know that? That was like 30 years ago. He intuitively knew that there's something about this that is not good. And then I woke up to this when Fully Raw Christina, I don't know if many of you know her, but she has a fantastic YouTube channel. She's located on Kauai, and she's a really bright light in terms of raw vegan and has a lot of illuminating videos on sustainability. You know, if you don't know her, she's a great resource and just a bright light soul. And she gave this talk on how lipstick was made from crushed up beetles. In fact, it takes 70,000 beetles to make 1 pound of red dye, just to let you know how unbelievably cruel and gross this is. Now, that's just one of the things I bring forward in this book. There are so many things that are essential for us to know about in our cleaning supplies, in things that we use every day that have these cruelty products in them. So it's a very illuminating book. It covers topics like graceful eldering, how to make changes. It has my signature recipes. There's so much in here that I don't have time to illuminate all of them today, but I thought maybe in the interest of time that we could open up to some Q&A, and then if there's any particular area that you'd like me to delve in more deeply, I'd be happy to do that. And I'd also like to share with you what my 10 compelling reasons are just to launch that conversation. So my 10 compelling reasons are, and I'll just read them to you right from the table of contents right here. First of all, animal welfare. Eliminate world hunger and starvation. Reverse water shortage. Reverse deforestation. Reverse global warming and the climate crisis. Reverse pollution. Increase energy, both individual and global. Improve health and prevent future pandemics. Eliminate modern-day slavery and put an end to war. As Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlegrounds. And that's what we're seeing playing out on the world stage right now in this Russian-Ukraine. And I'm not singling them out. Everywhere we're seeing this. And it's all based on that consciousness of violence and domination that this book is intended to reverse. And then the last compelling reason is it's the right thing to do, because whatever we do comes back to us. As it says in the Bible, as you sow, so shall you reap. Karma says what goes around comes around. So first of all, we kill these animals, then it kills us through heart attacks, which is the number one cause of death in this country, and number two is cancer, both of which can be reversed through low-fat vegan diet. Then we rape these animals on these cruel rape racks, and we have women raped worldwide. We milk these cows with cruel metal machines, and we are suffering from breast cancer and contaminated breast milk. We force feed these animals and we are suffering from obesity. We confine these animals and we have lockdowns and shutdowns and sanctuary at home mandates. We force them to stand in their own excrement like these chickens in poultry warehouses where the ammonia from their own excrement ruins their lungs, and now we're getting these lung diseases such as COVID-19. We cut down the rainforests, which are the lungs of the planet, and we're suffering from respiratory illnesses. So we can just see clearly that the way we're treating livestock is the way humans are being treated now. We see the boomerang effect. We see this karma. And this book is a message of hope, because what this book does is not just state the problem, which you all know, but it gives a clear-cut solution, step-by-step plan of how to reverse it systematically, with joy and with fun and with detail. So it's a message of hope of how to reverse every major problem that we're experiencing on planet Earth today by transitioning from the sad diet to the glad diet. And the glad diet means the global loving ahimsa diet. So on that note, I'd like to turn it over for questions, because I could go into a lot more detail, but I know we have a certain time frame that I want to honor and respect.
Right. Great. Well, thank you. That was a real, very illuminating presentation on your book, a tour through the ideas and what inspired you to write the book, and some of the people who have influenced you positively. And I think we all learn from that, because we all have our own story. And to hear the story of other people, I think it's really inspiring. So thank you so much, Angel. So I'd like to not say too much myself at the moment here, except to say it's really great that we have this new document to be able to share with people, with friends and neighbors and relatives who we would like to help them understand why we're the crazy vegans, and they might want to learn more about the whole thing and how to do it. And the book is available on Amazon. It's available, I think, probably many other ways as well. At this point, everybody thinks the only way you get anything is from Amazon, but I think there are other avenues. But I'd like to go ahead and see if any of you beautiful people would like to make a comment or to ask a question of Angel about her process, about the book, or anything she's been saying. So please, let's go ahead and do that first. Do anyone want to mention something or ask a question or just tell us something that came up for you as you were listening to Angel? Looks like Kenny has got something. Yeah, go ahead. You're unmuted, so go ahead.
I'm unmuted. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. First of all, how do you pronounce your name again, please?
Yes, my name is Meenakshi, which is a name of a goddess that I was named after by my teacher Swami Satchidananda, who's a goddess of a temple in South India. And that's my formal and legal name. And then my nickname is Angel, which is what all my friends call me. And my last name is Honig, which means honey. And the quality of sweetness is very important to me in all aspects of life.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said. One of the things I find interesting is when I talk to a lot of people about why they're vegan, or and that so many vegans are not aware of all the spiritual, you go into even greater depth, but the spiritual, the environmental, the economic, the health, and of course, I still think the cruelty to animals is still something I cry about, I pray about, I get so angry about it. Just sometimes I feel like walking through a supermarket, you're going to go insane, because 90% of the food is comes from hell. Right, or it's not healthy, and I'm thinking of possibly exploring the idea of going to the farm in Tennessee. Have you ever been to the farm in Tennessee? I'd just like to hear more about it. I mean, I hope to talk to Will about it as well sometime this week about. And I know about the farm, and I know Will lived there, but So I'd ask you those things.
Yes. Well, I'm well aware of the farm, because I know that's where Will was inspired to go vegan. And so I know that's a very powerful, transformative community. I live on Maui, and my brother has 11 acres right here, which is also a vegan community that we are building. And so we actually are welcoming people who want to grow food and people who can really contribute to a vegan, sustainable community similar to what was described in Ecuador and in Florida, except ours has been in existence for 28 years. And so it's more built up than they're just starting at the ground level. But we did start at that ground level, and I was there at that ground level because we were off the grid for the first 5 years. And, you know, I was teaching yoga at the Grand Wailea, and living out there where we were off the grid with a windmill and with rain catch and with a generator and an inverter and getting water from the stream. And, you know, so I lived off the grid for 5 years, and I know what it's like. That's why I can really appreciate those pioneers. I went through that stage, and now it's a more evolved community. But we are also very selectively welcoming vegan people who want to contribute and live there.
Thanks, Angel, for talking about that community with your brother, Frederick. It's a beautiful, I just want to tell everybody, you know, you're not going to say it, but it's really a beautiful place. And we've been there many times and given lectures there and met Frederick, who's a really dedicated vegan also, like his wonderful sister. And he tells a story that I always love to, I think you may have heard me say it, but he's the guy who says this, the greatest thing, I just love it. He says, when you look at me, you look at my body, like half of it is that breadfruit tree over there. You know, he planted a breadfruit tree, and just loved that tree, and the tree gives, it grew so huge, and it gives so many breadfruits. And I know when we're, Madeline and I are there, we're eating breadfruit like every meal, and it's steamed and fried and baked, and it's really starchy. And the tree gives more breadfruit than breadfruit trees normally give. It gives like almost the entire 12 months of the year. And one of the things that I thought was so ridiculous was when people who are eating animal food say, well, you know, life feeds on life, and I'm just, you know, I'm eating life, I'm eating, you know, these animals are kind of here for us to use, and it's life feeding on life. And I always thought, no, that's life feeding on death and killing. And this really, we can grow our own food, and we can do it with love and compassion and caring, and the earth loves to cooperate with us when we do it with the right attitude. And we're finding that here, of course, in our garden too. But at this community, it's really beautiful to see someone who's put that kind of, like Angel was saying, so much energy and love into the land and carved out a beautiful community with lots of edible fruit trees and so forth. This is something I think that's very inspiring. It's been inspiring to us as well. So, yeah, I think, Kenny, it's a good idea, you know, to look into living in an intentional community. The farm is definitely open to people also. And it's not a strictly vegan community anymore. You have to be aware of that. There's a lot of vegans living there. They do have the largest vegan book publishing company in North America is still there, their offices and everything. But people can choose to not, like they don't check people's refrigerator or whatever. Everybody has their own little house. So there's a lot of vegans there, but there are some people who are not vegans living there. And but the community meals are all vegan. And there's no slaughtering or keeping of animals there either. So, but you can find out about that. But it's not quite as strict and pure as it was when I was there. But it's still going strong, and it's a, you know, big place. I mean, they've got, I think, close to 2,000 acres of land. Mm. It's well established, and it's a very interesting, interesting place. But you need to find out more. You know, you need to like call them, talk to them, maybe go and visit at some point. But yeah, there's a number, you know, several vegan communities also on the Big Island of Hawaii. There's a few other ones, but there's not that many, actually, it seems like. So thanks, Angel, for talking a little bit about the other aspect that you spend so much time, which is the vegan community on Maui. And it's a very inspiring place, and I hope that we get to, at some point, come back again and visit that. Yep. Does anyone else have any comments, questions for Angel? This is a great opportunity. You know, here she is. She usually can't make these calls. She's 3 hours behind us even. So we got all kinds of times. We have Davi in England where it's probably, I don't know what, 2 o'clock in the morning, and Angel where it's only like 2 in the afternoon. Anyone else want to ask a question or make a comment?
Hi, Will.
Susan, hi.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in Oahu, so I'm wondering how do I be in touch with Angel if there was any chance for me to do that.
Yes, it's angelyoga.com. It's very easy to remember, angelyoga.com.
Okay, so, I'll go right.
Yeah, if you just go to www.angelyoga.com and you go to contact, you can contact me.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Great, yeah, that's a good idea. And you've been teaching yoga for 50 years without missing a year? That's really remarkable.
As of September, I'll be celebrating that in 2 months.
Right, right, wow. Mm. It's amazing that there's so many yogis that who are not vegan, but I think it's changing. You know, it is changing.
Well,
people are realizing.
You know, it's heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching to me to observe that. And just yesterday I got a notification on Facebook that a very prominent member of Yogaville, speaker there, MC there, just posted on Facebook, you know, her making yogurt. And it talked about, you know, all this yogurt costs less than a gallon of milk. And someone put in the comments, like, have you tried coconut yogurt or, you know. And I think that Madeline, I think she did in her Intuitive Kitchen how to make a vegan yogurt. She did one of her videos on that topic that I'm going to refer this person to. But the point of it is that it's incomprehensible to me that anyone who considers themselves to be a yoga teacher or a spiritual teacher or a decent human being for that matter would be anything other than vegan. In fact, I have a segment in my book that is called From Dissonance to Consonance, From Disconnection to Reconnection. And in that section, I take all of the most common excuses that people give for not going vegan. Like, oh, I'm only vegan for, I only eat dairy for special occasions. And I go, well, if it's a special occasion, wouldn't that be a better time to not cause cruelty to other animals? Wouldn't it make it more special, you know? But what I do is that I take on all of these commonly held beliefs and I counter them with, as Dr. Clapper said, both logic and love to melt away and replace these misconceptions with a deeper truth.
Right, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Yogaville is a community in Virginia that was founded by Swami Satchitananda, and it's a really beautiful place. It's really beautiful. They have a gigantic temple there honoring all the world religions. And Madeline and I have been there actually many times and given lectures promoting veganism, which is always interesting because there's quite a few people there who are definitely not vegan. And they tend to want to argue about it a little bit. But it's great to be able to just shine the light of truth in these places because these are people who teach other people quite a bit and they're held in esteem. And I think that, I know, Angel, you've done a lot of work to help raise awareness with it at Yogaville over the years, too. And you've told me how you would bring my, sometimes even bring my CD and play it and so forth about the dairy and kind of rile everybody up. But I think these things die hard because people think, well, it's India, and India loves the cows, and they always had dairy, and they always had yogurt, and they had ghee, and all these things. And so it's basically a re-education. But I think we see it happening quite a bit. You know, I'm in touch a lot with people from India, with Jain people and yogis and so forth. And India is definitely having a big vegan revival now, too. People are realizing that that vegetarianism really is veganism. I mean, being a vegetarian and eating dairy, you're really not being a vegetarian. So I think in terms of health and compassion and environmental, everything, you know, dairy is probably like the worst really in terms of cruelty and health and environmental devastation. So thanks for including that in your book so well, too, and it's a great point.
Yeah, just add to what you said there about Yogaville. They are vegetarian for sure, but not vegan.
Yeah.
And next month on 8/8, I'm actually doing a podcast with Integral Yoga International through the Yoga Teachers Association, a podcast that will be aired on YouTube, so everybody here can watch that, where I'm going to address specifically, which I have addressed in my book as well, the vital transition from vegetarian to vegan. Because a lot of so-called yoga people think that vegetarian is enough and that you don't have to be vegan because of these misconceptions. But what I am doing is bringing those misconceptions to light and sharing the deeper truth about what is really going on with that. And that will be aired next month. So I'm really looking forward to specifically addressing that aspect to that community as well as to the larger community, because it will be posted on YouTube. And, And, you know, all these World Peace Diet facilitators already know that dairy is one of the cruelest parts of the meat industry, because not do they only slaughter the cows, but first they torture these dairy cows for 5 years first until they're spent, and then they send them off to be McDonald's hamburgers. So they get tortured, and then the reward for giving all of their milk to where they're spent. And after 5 years, their milk will decrease because of this abuse, because they're forced to be impregnated and lactate continuously, which is not the way nature would have it be. Because of all of that, their lifespan is naturally 25 years for a cow. So after 5 years, they're sent to slaughter. That's their reward for all of their giving of their milk, which is one of the greatest allergens anyway, filled with cholesterol, pus, blood, antibiotics, insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, everything about it is toxic to our health. But most importantly is that when we do that, we're using our voting dollar to pay someone to torture a cow. And how can a spiritual person espouse ahimsa or loving kindness when they're using their voting dollar to pay someone to torture a sentient being who has a nervous system very similar to our own? And
right.
They feel the way you feel. And I bring this out in my book very strongly.
Yeah, and also there's at least 4 calves that are killed in that whole process, little babies. And usually they're sent off to slaughter with one inside of them who's killed and used for the bovine serum, which is used to make lab-grown meat. I mean, the ironies never end here, but the thing is that this is really horrific treatment of these animals, and it's good to just, and I like it how in your book you really tell it like it is, and you even have photographs of some of the, you know, so people get the picture of it as well. I know Margie has her hand up, has a question, so go ahead, Margie. You've been waiting to make a comment, so you can feel free to unmute if you'd like. And say something. Yeah, you're still muted. Yeah. And also, maybe while you're unmuting, I'll just mention that we've just been joined by Swarup Honig, Frederick Honig, who's Angel's brother that we just talked about. I don't know how you managed to just come on right now. You've never... But hello... Swarup, it's great to see your beautiful shining face, and that's fantastic. So I was just talking about how you fit half of your body is that breadfruit tree. that looks like a happy breadfruit tree.
Mm-hmm.
Love goes around and goes around and around. Okay, it looks like Margie, you've got your successfully unmuted. So go ahead with your comment or whatever.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah.
While trying to unmute, I came up with some new background, which is not where I am in New Hampshire, but anyway. Thank you so much, Angel. Gosh, I think my question is being answered by listening to you. And that's really, you know, if you have any suggestions for speaking to people who, I suppose, you know, have some openness to veganism. I know a lot of people who have been vegetarian and yogis and alternative thinkers and have now bought into the grass-fed beef market and all of that. And so, and saying that they feel better eating meat. And I've been there, so I'm, you know, just putting it out there that I'm feeling like a loner in my world. And, you know, I didn't choose to do the same things as a lot of people the last couple of years. So I'm already, you know, looked at as an odd one. So, you know, it's tricky to, but I'm really thinking that one thing may be to gift your book to some people.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, if you have people that just don't seem to get it, you know, I think it's a brand new book that's filled with lots of both, I think, realities that are hard to be aware of, but I think Angel does a good job in presenting it in a open-hearted, loving way. And I think it's a great book to share with people. Do you want to say anything more about that, Angel, or?
Yes. I think that gifting these people this book is an excellent start. Also, I want to point out that at the end of this book, I have a very detailed resource section that has documentaries, that has websites, that has books, that has phone apps. It's like chock full of really potent, like cherry-picked resources of people such as Dr. Will Tuttle and people like Sarah Taylor and people who are just really great luminaries in this field. So I would suggest, what was your name? Our person just asked the question.
Yeah, her name is Margie.
Margie. Okay, Margie, I don't see your face on the, let me see if I can get back to the gallery view here. I just wanted to, respond to your very vitally important question, Margie. Let's see where you are.
Yeah, I think she dropped off. Was having a little trouble with her connection. She'll probably be back on again in a minute.
Okay. So, Margie, what I wanted to say is that, first of all, thank you for holding strong where you might seem like the odd person out. But instead of perceiving yourself as the odd person out, think of yourself as the candle who is there to illuminate these other souls. In terms of this, how to get other people into the fold. I think one of the best things you can do is host a documentary such as Forks Over Knives or Cowspiracy or Seaspiracy or Game Changers. You know, one of these documentaries and serve popcorn and then everybody watch it together and then have a conversation afterwards. What did you get from this? What resonated with you? What's one step you can take in that direction? What's one thing about this that touched you? So that's a very good way to do it. Another great way to do it is invite people over for dinner for yummy, scrumptious vegan food, and they'll see how it's filled with love and light and color and beauty and vitality, and you'll win them over with how awesome it is and how great you feel by being on it, and also how you feel your conscience is clear because you're not every single voting dollar that we spend is a vote for either cruelty or loving kindness, for devastation or sustainability, or disease or vibrant health. So you can get them on any one of those angles that they specifically care about. And I think how we do that is by asking them questions. You know, are you an animal lover? And one of my, in my book, one of the sections is called Counter Questions Rather Than Counter Attacks. And so this is a way how we can communicate with people by asking them questions rather than trying to make them wrong, guilty, bad, which doesn't go anywhere. So what you do is ask them questions like, do you have any pets? Do you love your animals? Oh, did you realize that the nervous system of your dog and a pig, a cow, a goat, a sheep is almost identical and that they have the same feelings and the same desires to have family and bonding and love and comfort and live out their life's purpose and celebrate and joy? So you just start asking them questions to get them thinking without making them wrong or bad. And one of the things that Will has emphasized is always speaking in terms of I, the I messages, like, you know, I used to eat meat up until the age of 11, and I really didn't realize the horrific suffering I was causing. But now that I realized that and I became a vegan, and God is so gracious that in this infinite kingdom from God's infinite source of menu, we can choose things that don't cause harm to the animals, to the environment, to our own health. And I feel so much better knowing that being a vegan, I'm saving 200 animal lives a year and more through vegan advocacy. And I feel so much better knowing that I'm not contributing to climate change, so there will be a world for our children. And I feel so much better knowing that I'm not clogging up my arteries to my heart with cholesterol that kills the heart, that kills the body, that's the number one cause of death in this country, so I can be around to do my vegan advocacy and to be a candle of light on planet Earth, which is our reason for being here, to tip this balance from unconscious cruelty to conscious loving kindness. So we want to be here in good health to be able to make a real difference on this planet at a time that it desperately needs it. So, yeah, there's so many things that we could comment on, but I would just say, you know, there's a few good ways to get started. The documentaries, the potluck dinners is a great way to do it, and sharing the book, sharing the other resources. And as far as the dairy goes, I will say there's 1 5-minute YouTube video on YouTube that I think everybody on planet Earth should be required to watch, and that's Era Janis, called A Dairy Is Scary. And in that, she lays it out in 5 minutes. And if anyone watches that video and doesn't go vegan, then that person does not have a heart.
Right. Yeah, Era Janis did a great video. That's Dairy Is Scary. You can just look it up if you haven't seen it. It's really well done. It's funny, but also it really shows what's going on with dairy. So I don't know where the time goes. It has flown by here. We're actually past our time. So I'm going to have to kind of wrap it up. I really have a sort of a promise with everybody that we don't go more than an hour and a half, because a lot of people are in difficult time situations. And I really appreciate your sharing, Angel. So please check out, you know, her website, angelyoga.com. And Amazon, of course, the book is there, and you can find out more. Also, it was great to hear from Michael and Aurora, and we have their website, too, about the community. So what our tradition now is, as we close with saying our prayer together, I did have a few emails of people that wanted me to cover things, and so I'm just going to have to tell those people that we'll do it next month, I think. One of the main questions is, well, how do you deal with people who said they tried being vegan and it didn't work for them, and now you can't, it's like, and how the internet is just proliferating with all these people who used to be vegan but it didn't work for them, and kind of trying to discourage everybody from going vegan because they have experience in it and they didn't feel well and all that kind of stuff. I'll just say one point, just very briefly, and then we can close, which is that the number one nemesis of animals in the world is the pharmaceutical industry. And they slaughter and torture so many animals, and most of their profits come directly from animal agriculture, either selling drugs that are used on animals in factory farms or to the people who get sick from that. And the pharmaceutical industry has the funding to hire literally thousands of people who are on the internet making these stories up and saying all this kind of stuff. They want to destroy veganism more than the meat, dairy, and egg industries want to destroy veganism. And they have the money to do it, and they're working on it. So I think you got to understand that a lot of these things are people that are, it's called astroturfing. It's sort of fake grassroots. It's not really grassroots people. It's people that are paid to put out these messages to try to discourage people from veganism, and that's one of the main ways. When you have people, oh, I tried being vegan and it didn't work, then people, wow, that's really powerful. So, you know, this is it's a situation. You know, we're in a sense we're in a battle. The animals are really getting abused by this, but we have to be aware of the fact that these industries are not going to go down without a fight. And we have to look deeply and just keep spreading, like Angel said, you know, spreading the love, awareness, speaking the truth, and holding the high watch. That's essential. So let's go ahead. Anyway, I just want to plant that one seed.
So can I just say one thing quickly in closing?
Okay.
Very quickly. My three requests in closing. Number one, I really want to get the message of Ahimsa out to as many people as possible. So I just want to put out to this community that if anyone would like me to be a guest on your podcast or webinar, on your radio show or TV show or anything of that nature, please contact me at angelyoga.com. Number two, I'm looking for someone to help with the marketing of this book, and this is a very fertile community for that, you know, 6 degrees of separation. So if anyone, yourself or know of someone who could help with marketing this book, please contact me. And the third thing is that if anyone reads my book would like to put a review on Amazon, that also helps to counter that misinformation, astroturfing that you were alluding to, Will, by putting the positive reviews that really take a stand for the truth.
Great. Yeah, those are three great things. Thank you, Angels, again, for joining us. Thank you, Swaroop, for joining us. It's great to see your bright and shining face. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Let's go ahead and close with our prayer that we always say together. Feel free to unmute yourselves. Just everybody unmute if you can. And we'll say this together. Madeline has joined us. Yay.
Hi, Madeline.
Hello, everybody. Nice to see all your faces.
All right. So let's say it three times. Here
Aloha.
We go. Compassion encircles the earth for all humans
everywhere.
Great. Again.
Compassion encircles the earth for all humans
everywhere. One more time with gusto. Compassion encircles the earth
for
all humans everywhere. All right, much love to everybody. Thanks again for joining us. It's been a beautiful
time.
Thank you both. Have a great month. We'll see you on the 1st of August for the meditation. Much love. Yeah, August. Yeah, first Thursday.
Love you. Good night.
All right, bye-bye. Good night.
Thank you, Will and Madeline.
Thank you. Thanks.
Aloha. 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 Aloha.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I'm Shanti.